Blog Talk Radio.
If you walk outside your door right now and look at the plants around your house, do you have any clue which plants are edible? After a lifetime of research and over 3 years of putting this together, I have created what I believe to be one of the most foundational books for living on planet Earth. Most human beings have lost touch with nature so much they have no clue anymore how to survive on their own. Did you know wild plants are some of the most powerful food and medicine you could ever have? Every living thing on Earth has a purpose, even the toxic plants. You just need to know which purpose they serve. In an emergency, you need to know this. If you want to seriously improve your health, you need to know this. If you have no more money for food or medicine, you need to know this. This is a book no household should be without. This isn't just about plants you might see in a forest somewhere. I'm talking about the begonias in your window, the grass in your yard, the tree on the corner, and the weeds coming through the cracks. Let's take common grass. Did you know you can make tea out of it? That's right. Grass tea is used as a diuretic for kidney stone prevention, urinary inflammation, incontinence, expelling worms, hemorrhoids, skin conditions like rash. It's also used for lung conditions like bronchitis, colds, fever, infections. The roots can be chewed as a licorice-tasting food or made into a flour and are used for digestive and stomach issues. That's right. Yeah, grass. It's insane what people don't know. This weed is one of the most nutritious, delicious greens there is, even better than spinach. It was used a long time ago by farmers to fatten up their livestock. You probably have 10 different things growing within walking distance of your house right now that are great, healthy, non-caffeine coffee substitutes. Plants that help you quit smoking. Plants that help you lose your desire for alcohol and detox your body while they're at it. What plants are a good substitute for milk or beer or even root beer? What plants make a good perfume? Which ones are good repellents for ants, moths, and mosquitoes? What common weed makes an awesome shampoo and soap? Which plant makes a soap for delicate fabrics that normally can't be washed with harsh chemicals? What's a good plan for bed bugs? This is not just a book for recognizing wild and unknown plants. It's also a dictionary and a health reference guide to all those revolutionary healing herbs you've been hearing so much about and what they're used for. This plant, for example, boosts your sex life so much it's been outlawed in several states. You might not be able to buy it, but it might be growing right there in your neighborhood. Every drug that medicine uses out there was originally made from a plant. Plants can feed you, help heal your health conditions. You can make clothing with them, and you can build your home with them. They can power your electricity and fuel your car. Plants can even protect your home from break-ins. Find out which ones are good for that. It's all in this book. Which plant is good for arguing couples? This plant has wax to make candles with. Which plant has a bubblegum flavor? What plants are good thickeners for soups and food? What common household flowers are edible? It's time we put everything in one book. All the plants. Garden plants, wild plants, potted plants, trees, landscaping, everything. What nuts taste like cheddar cheese when steamed? What common worldwide plant is eaten in India where people have the lowest cancer rates? Sure, wheatgrass is great, but what about crabgrass? What about those amazing and powerful herbs you've heard so much about from South America? Did you know people are growing them in their homes all over the world? When I say edible plants, I mean all plants, because you now have access to all of them everywhere. Geographic region doesn't matter anymore either, because the world is becoming one. People are growing pineapples and goji berries in their own homes, even up north where it's cold. Did you know you can grow kiwis that can handle 30 below zero? I'm about to open up a whole new world for you of unlimited possibilities and put you in charge of having access to any free food and medicine you could ever want, including the most famous healing herbs in the world. I am empowering you here. You're not just at the mercy of what's randomly growing near you. You now have the power to grow almost anything you want, any plant from anywhere in the world on your property, no matter where you live. It's your life. Start grabbing it by the reins and start doing what you want. That's what I'm here for, is to show you how. Why did I include normal grocery store fruits and vegetables in this book? Because there's lots of wild carrots and grapes and asparagus and stuff growing out there, and most people have no clue what a wild carrot even looks like if they saw one, or mustard. If you saw this growing, would you eat it? You know what this is? It's celery. This, on the other hand, is poison hemlock. You got to know the difference. Most people have no clue. We need to start from scratch. When I say edible plants, I mean all edible plants. What are peely nuts and jackfruit good for? Which super powerful plants are good for fighting sexual diseases? What plant will not burn and makes a great fire barrier around your home? I didn't just create this for you. I created it for me, too. Why buy it when you can grow it for free and have an endless supply of free food and medicine listen for the rest of your life. This amazing Power Pack book covers over 1,000 plants found all over the world. It shows you which ones are edible, which ones are poisonous, what they're used for. Over 2,500 full color images. This is the ultimate plant and health reference guide. Just as important is the second part of the book, a complete in-depth cross-reference of every health condition you can imagine and what plants have been historically used for those conditions. What plant do you take for nervousness? What plant repairs DNA? What plants are good for anxiety, insomnia? Which ones are good probiotic food? What plants can you make your own soap and toothpaste and shampoo with? What are the best healthy low glycemic sugar substitutes other than stevia? Which ones increase nutrient absorption and athletic performance? How about the performance in the bedroom? Even if you don't want to pick your own plants, at least know what to look for when you go to the health store. This section alone is worth the whole book. Once you start looking at this thing, you're not going to be able to put it down. You'll be amazed at what's out there, growing right outside your door. There's nothing else like this out there. This is a book every person, every household should have. The Free Food and Medicine Worldwide Edible Plant Guide. Get it at freefoodandmedicine.com.
Oh,
are you there?
I was muted.
I thought I was by myself there for a second.
You were.
So, trivia. If you're a lily-livered pansy, what should you eat?
The one that tastes like bubblegum.
I have no idea if pansies taste like bubblegum or not, but supposedly, if you eat pansies, it'll make you more assertive.
More assertive?
Yes. Therefore, pansies are for pansies.
Interesting. Maybe that's where they got that.
I don't know. I don't even know if it's true. It's just something I ran across.
So, which ones, while steamed, taste like cheddar cheese?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't run across that one yet.
Me neither. Still looking. So what do you got? Oh, well, first off, what do you got? We're talking about Eyebright today. And there's nothing about Eyebright in the Free Food and Medicine book.
There is two. I thought there was. It's a pretty short blurb.
Oh, here it is. I thumbed right to it. I don't know why you didn't see it before. My bad.
Yeah, it was a pretty short blurb. It's good. It told me a little bit more than I knew before. I did find two references on the web, WebMD and off the top of the head, I can't remember the other website, but I have
funny.
Both of them up on my browser.
That's funny. I have WebMD also. I was looking at the same. Go ahead.
Well, you know, they probably came up in the search engine, you know, and I like the WebMD reference because it kind of gives you the typical attitude of the medical community toward these things.
But at the same time, it gives you the medical community's point of reference. And a lot of people are like, well, I'm not going to do anything unless my doctor tells me to. But they'll trust sites like WebMD because it's more modern medicine based. And so you can find some good alternative solutions through WebMD. So I see it as a gateway. I mostly use WebMD to see what herbs and pharmaceuticals conflict with each other. So if, say, somebody comes to me and they want a blend of some sort and they're on a certain pharmaceutical, that's when I use WebMD primarily to see if certain herbs will conflict with the pharmaceuticals that they're on.
Right. And, of course, you'll have to make a decision whether you don't care. Or you're glad they conflict, which is a very strong possibility.
Yeah, at that point, I personally choose not to conflict with their medication because that would be a liability on me. I give the customer the option.
Right. But I'm talking about the person who's actually taking it.
Oh, well, yeah, that's on them.
So if I'm taking it, I might want it to conflict. Like the vitamin K, you know, conflicts with blood thinners. Well, but it also helps alleviate the reason why you're taking the blood thinners.
Right. Well, it's just like, I think it's black walnut. Will basically block the absorption of chemicals in the body. Well, we're bombarded with chemicals all the time, so we should all be taking black walnut.
All right. Well, I'm gonna start out with ridicule of WebMD by reading the dosing statement.
Oh, okay.
Okay. There's some good information here, though, but you got to keep in mind that it's from their viewpoint, and they have a certain negativity toward these things. All right. So for dosing, the appropriate dose of Eyebright depends on several factors, such as user's age, health, and several other conditions. At this time, there is not enough scientific information to determine an appropriate range of doses for Eyebright. Keep in mind that natural products are not always necessarily safe, and dosages can be important. Be sure to follow relevant directions on product labels and consult your pharmacist or physician or other healthcare professional before using. Okay, so basically they're saying, we don't have a clue, but we're going to throw up this general warning to scare you off.
Right, and it says that there, what is it, natural products are not necessarily safe. They're a lot safer than the pharmaceuticals.
This may be, but I mean, you know, hey, it's not really safe for most people to take hemlock.
Well, that's
okay? just saying. Okay.
You got to know what.
And so,
take.
And that's, you know, most people who take hemlock are going to die. All right. There may be a case where it's good to take hemlock. I don't know of any. Okay. But, you know, I'm just saying, okay. You know, and so hemlock is a good example of what they're talking about. But they're not talking about hemlock. They're talking about Eyebright. Okay. So let's see now. Side effects. Eyebright is possibly safe for most people when taken by mouth. However, when used directly on the eye, Eyebright is possibly unsafe. It is not recommended. It can be contaminated and cause eye infection. Side effects of Eyebright tincture includes confusion, headaches, tearing, itching, redness, vision problems, sneezing, nausea, toothache, constipation, cough, trouble breathing, trouble sleeping, insomnia, sweating, and others. It sounds an awful lot like the stuff that they try to give you in the little white tablets. But what they didn't do is they didn't give you a sight of the study that told you that it could possibly cause confusion. And this is the only reference I've ever seen it saying that could cause confusion or headaches. But possibly unsafe is true because it can be contaminated. All right. And that's an important thing to take into consideration. And the other site they read that talks about using it for an eye wash very specifically says that you should, you know, if you're going to make an eye wash, you should boil it and make a tea out of it and then run it through a coffee filter in order to get all the solids out of it. All right. If there's some solids in it and you're trying to treat pink eye or conjunctivitis, well, any contaminant, any little bit of grit or whatever is going to be a further source of irritation to the eye.
Right.
And I don't know if it was on this site, or if it was on another site. I think it was on the other site. It pointed out that if you've had eye surgery of any kind, you know, like laser, you know, the laser surgery where they reshape your eyeball, they remove a cataract, you're wearing contact lenses, which isn't necessarily surgery, but you know, you wear them on a regular basis. Eyebright is counterindicated for those conditions, and I'm not sure what Eyebright does that causes, you know, somebody who's had laser surgery to have a problem. But it is recommended that if you're wearing contact lenses and you do decide to do the eye wash, you should refrain from wearing your contact lenses until you've finished your treatment. And that's not necessarily possible for all people because some people are literally blind without their contact lenses.
Right.
Yeah. Unless you got your glasses around, which is probably a good idea. I mean, if you got conjunctivitis, you really got no business wearing contact lenses in the first place.
True.
Right. You know, because conjunctivitis is often caused by eye irritation, and I'm pretty sure a contact lens would be very irritating.
Oh, they are.
Okay. I'm just looking through here.
Well, I can see why if you've had eye surgery that taking herbs that will correct your vision would be a problem because it would cause your surgery to not be as effective because...
Yeah, it might reverse it, but yeah.
Well, what they do when, a lot of times anyways, when you have surgery to correct your vision, they're actually placing like a contact lens on your eye and surgically implanting it. So they're not really...
Yes, but it's a contact lens made out of your own flesh.
Oh, usually. I thought it was made out of something else.
Yeah, when they do the laser surgery or you know, when they do the laser surgery, they literally reduce the amount of flesh you have so your eye collapses down or they'll very carefully slice off the top of the lens of your eye and then take it and freeze it and then run it on a very specialized lathe to shape it precisely and then thaw it out and tack her back on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds creepy.
My ex had that done, and within a year, her eyes were bad again. Which, oh no.
I know somebody else who had it done, not the exact procedure.
There you go.
But his eyes were good for about a decade or so, and then he started having problems.
Okay. Now, I'm looking at a site called verywellhealth.com.
Okay.
And they actually had a lot more information on there. They explained why Eyebright is so good for your eyes in the first place, because it really does nourish the eye. It doesn't. I was under the impression that what it did is it opens up the blood vessels, which it does. All right.
And that's what gives me instant improved eyes. Because, you know, when I read these little white screens that are bright, I tend to start seeing double. And I haven't quite identified what causes that. And I've gone through several things, you know, because cataracts can cause that condition. I've ruled that out. Detached retina can cause that condition. I've ruled that out because I've had this condition since, before I was a teenager. I can literally see double with one eye, especially if I've been reading for a long time. So there's like a half a dozen conditions that can cause that. And I pretty well ruled out two of them, but, Eyebright makes it go away immediately. I take some Eyebright and not quite immediately, but you know, within a half an hour, it's gone. It usually clears up my vision that quickly. All right. So whatever it is, it's nutritionally based. Okay. Now, yeah, it was this article that spoke about the article on Very Well Health explained why contaminated Eyebright wash could be a problem. And it also speaks about you shouldn't use it if you've had cataract removal or laser surgery on your eyes.
Well, what about...
Because what will happen is castor oil is good for removing cataracts without surgery. I don't know if it helped then. I think what it does is it. I'm not sure exactly what a cataract is, but basically, it seems to me it's a hardening of the flesh on the eyeball, and the castor oil softens it until it dissolves. Calcium.
That's what I understand. I got to look it up again.
All right, I'm trying to find the specific reference in here about. Anyway, saying if you've had eye surgery, the Eyebright will actually cause the infection to be worse. But if you haven't had surgery on your eyes of any kind, they did this study, I think it was like 85 people. Oh, here it is. I found the study. 65 people in this study. 53 of them completely recovered. They took 65 people with conjunctivitis and treated them with eye drops. And
castor oil or Eyebright?
Eyebright, 10 grams of Eyebright.
Okay.
All right, and they did follow-up examinations performed 7 days and 14 days after the start of treatment. A complete recovery was seen in 53 of the patients. So that leaves 12. An additional 11 patients showed clear improvement. Okay. One patient, the conjunctivitis actually worsened. Okay. So one out of 65 had a negative result. Okay. Now that's significant, but that's still a low percentage.
Right. So if the Eyebright doesn't work, then castor oil might be the solution.
I don't know if castor oil will help in conjunctivitis at all.
Oh, okay.
Pink eye. Conjunctivitis is pink eye. All right.
Okay.
The Eyebright is a traditional cure for pink eye.
Let's see here. According to prescriptions for herbal healing, bilberry, Eyebright, mullein, hawthorn, and raspberry leaf is good for pink eye and bloodshot eyes.
Do they suggest it as an eye wash or eating it directly?
Eating it directly.
Okay. Yeah, because when I had conjunctivitis back when I was over on George and Valerie's place, I ate Eye Bright, and it helped clear it up quickly. But I suspect that had I used it as an eye wash, it would have cleared it up quicker. Let's see now.
Yeah, Eye Bright's good for other things too besides your eyes. It's also good for colds like sore throats, sinus infections,
yes,
hay fever. It's good for itchy and watery eyes, hay fever, coughs, congestion, sinus problems, cold, sore throats, earaches and headaches. The whole plant is edible. And what I thought was cool is it looks like henbit, but instead of purple flowers, it's got a light purple, almost pinkish white flowers.
Right. And I wasn't able to confirm whether it's a member of the mint family or not. The flower looks a lot like it's in the mint family. But I was able to find out that this herb is actually a parasitic herb. Apparently plants in its family either produce no chloroform or don't produce enough chloroform or chlorophyll, the green stuff in your leaves that help them convert sunlight into energy. Right? I mispronounced it once. Chloroform is the stuff you put on somebody's face in order to make them fall asleep.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
Good
chlorophyll.
Stuff, good stuff.
No. Chlorophyll. Okay, anyway, apparently it doesn't produce enough or it doesn't produce any at all, and therefore it has to tap into the roots of other plants to get those nutrients that it needs because it doesn't produce them itself. Oh my, we're almost out of time. Okay, let me see if I can read through this real quick because there's a list of nutrients that's in this.
Okay, real quick.
Oh, boy. Wow, it has to be really quick. Contains vitamin A.
Hang on. Oh. As soon as this is over, once I get it uploaded, you can go to freefoodandmedicine.org to hear the rest of the story when we run out of time. Go ahead.
You know what? I will read it after that. Okay?
Okay.
But, yes, you were saying... Go ahead and give the close of this, and we'll continue later.
All right, yeah, we got 60 seconds. So, yeah, go to freefoodandmedicine.com for Marcus Rothkranz or freefoodandmedicine.net if you want to give me credit for it. And we're working on a site called freefoodandmedicine.org where we have a blog, a video site, and the full version of this podcast will be there as well. And you can just go there and hear the rest of the story and also find the number to call in besides the Blog Talk Radio number.
And thank you for reminding me that we have additional podcast time.
That's true. We got another 30 minutes. So, all right. We'll talk to you on the other side.